Okay, and now we'll jump into John chapter 4, where we see that Jesus has now left talking to Nicodemus. And in this chapter, we'll see how he leaves Judea to go back to Galilee. So picking up in John 4, verses 1 through probably get to 6 today. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John. So we see here that Jesus and is starting to collect a group of followers. And there's this fear that he's collecting more followers than John. And that should be expected because when John was preaching the gospel of repentance and baptizing people in the baptism of repentance, when we saw at the beginning of John, when Jesus came and got baptized by John the Baptist, he starts pointing people to Jesus. Here's the one who I was talking about. Here's the one who I'm not even worthy of untying his sandals. You all need to go and look at Jesus. So it's no surprise that Jesus is gaining more followers than John. And there was already this fear, though, by the Pharisees of how popular John was getting. And you could see that when John is interacting with the Pharisees, and some of the Pharisees are coming to talk to Jesus about what's going on. You see there's this fear of gaining the followers and bringing people away from the Pharisees to others who are not part of the Pharisee crowd. And we see that here when in verse 3 it says, he, that is Jesus, left Judea and departed again to Samaria. So it says, now when Jesus had learned that the Pharisees, he departed. So it looks like he's trying to avoid some of the confrontation right now. We'll see that that's going to come back later and he will be confronted by the Pharisees. And he's trying to move away from that right now. It's not the right time for there to be this confrontation. So now, when Jesus had learned that the Pharisees heard he was making more disciples than John, and parenthetically, we see in verse 2, it says, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples. And so we remember from earlier in the book, where it's talking about Jesus and his disciples baptizing, it was not actually Jesus who was doing the baptism, but that it was his disciples. And this is important for some of the hierarchy. We see later in the epistles where Paul talks about, I'm really glad that I only baptized like 3 or 4 of you, because then you would go around claiming, I've been baptized by Paul, therefore I'm more important, or therefore I'm holier or purer than others. And we know that there is no person who is more holy or less holy because of who they were baptized by. There's only those who are inside of Christ's family and those who are outside, and they're brought into Christ's family not through their own work, not through their parents, not through who baptized them, but it's only through the body and blood of Jesus that brings them through. It's the free gift of salvation. It's not their own works or anybody's good deeds. It is just the body and blood of Jesus that brings you into that family. And so we see that when it talks about no one was being baptized by Jesus, no one was able to claim that they were special or set apart because of their baptism, but that they were only set apart because they were following Jesus. And that's the only difference, not who baptized them. And so we saw, now Jesus heard, therefore he left. Jesus left Judea and departed again for Galilee. So he starts moving back up through Israel, through the land there, to go from Judea to Galilee, where he had been earlier on. And to do this, it says, and he had to pass through Samaria. And so the shortest point between those two locations was to go through this land of Samaria. And so that's where he's going. He's going to pass through the land of Samaria. Now, the Samaritans were an interesting set of people. So we remember all the way back in the Exodus, when the Jews had left Egypt and they wandered through the desert They came to the promised land, and they were told not to intermarry with those who were in the promised land, but they were to go and clear out, get rid of everyone from the promised land. And how there were, throughout the course of then, the next hundreds of years, a group who intermarried with those from the promised land. And so that ends up being who these Samaritans are. They're part Jew, part Gentile. They're this weird mix of the two. And in the Old Covenant, God was really setting aside Israel as this holy race set apart. And he didn't want them mixing with the other peoples and other religions because he was knowing that they would leave worshiping God and start worshiping the idols and the gods of these other nations. And Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then right into Joshua and Judges. These are all full of accounts of the Israelites wandering away from God and worshiping other things instead of him. As Paul will talk about, worshiping the creature rather than the creator. And so that's a really big problem. And God wanted his chosen people to be separated and set aside from these other nations. And this group here was mixed. And so since they were part Jew and part Gentile, the Gentiles didn't like them because they were part Jewish. And the Jewish people didn't like them because they had intermixed with the Gentiles. And so they were caught between everyone really not liking them. So it's weird to go and spend time with them. Not a lot of people would like passing through that area and doing business with them because they were despised by all of these people. And so Jesus says his path is taking him right through Samaria. And he ties it back to the Old Testament by stating here that he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, weary as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. And so we get really good geography of where he is because everyone would keep track of whose wells they were, especially in that time when you had to take your shovel and your axe and your picks and your hands and go and dig the well down. So you had to dig the big hole to go find the water. And you were very protective of whose well was whose. And so we know exactly where Jesus was at this point. Well, those who were reading and writing this would know exactly where, because they kept track of that well. And it's tied all the way back to Jacob giving it to his son Joseph. And so this is just reminding us of the promise all the way back then, all the way back with Jacob and Esau, and the promise being answered of Isaac and Abraham, that from him a nation would be raised up. And that nation now we're seeing is this nation of Israel here in the book of John. And so Jesus is at this well, and we see it's just this beautiful line here. I like it where it says that, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. And so we've been seeing from the beginning of John, Jesus is the light, and the light was with God, and the light was God. And when Jesus gets baptized, the heavens open up, and there's a spirit like a dove coming down saying, this is my son, who I am well pleased. We're being reminded of the divinity of Jesus. And here we're reminded of his humanity again, that Jesus was truly God and truly man. That in this point here, he's weary. He's tired. He's been walking all day. He is tired. He wants to sit down and rest. We'll find out tomorrow or the next day that his disciples had gone into town to buy some food. And he's thirsty, so he asks a lady who comes up here to help him get water from the well. So Jesus is tired and thirsty. And we're reminded that Jesus is truly man. And so Jesus is tempted in every way that we are. We can see in his temptation in Matthew 4, talking about when he fasted for 40 days, prayed and fasted, and then Satan came and tried to tempt him different times, showing him, here's some rocks, turn these into bread, or here's all these kingdoms that I can give you, all this glory I can give you. Jesus was tempted, just like we would be tempted, to leave his father and to leave that faith to eat or to take on those glories because he is truly man. He's tired. He'd be tempted to be tired and grumpy and thirsty and irritable like we get when we are tired and thirsty. But Jesus never broke to any of those temptations. And being truly God, he was perfect in everything he did. And so that's the praise that we have about who Jesus is, that even though he got weary, even though he's thirsty, even though he's been walking, he perfectly avoids all temptation and falling to those temptations. He's able to sit there and then discuss with the Samaritan woman and preach to her the gospel of his good news. So it's going to be exciting to go and see what he has in store for us here. But this is just a good intro into the chapter where we see Jesus as truly God and truly man, being tempted as we are, but not moving to that temptation, and being willing to go and meet with Samaritans, those who are on the outside, those who are despised by their neighbors. This is Jesus showing us that the gospel, his good news, is for all people. So we saw that in John 3, that all types of people are being brought in to his family. Jew on one side, Gentile on the other, Samaritans in the middle, and us Americans on the other side, that we are brought in to his family, not through our own works, but only through the body and blood of Jesus. So this is what's exciting about chapter 4. Looking forward to continuing and finding out what happens with his interaction with the Samaritan woman. So let's, as we go about our day today, be reminded of who Jesus is and that the gospel has been preached to us. So let us praise God for Jesus, his life, his death, and his gospel that is given to us through himself.